before this, the sentence, I think that last time we read the totality of phenomena and the nature of things are far beyond any question of sameness or difference, beyond the talk of distinction or identity. It is not past, present, or future, not annihilation or eternity, not form, sensation, conception, conditioning, or consciousness. Therefore, it is the nature of things. Well, I think maybe you can think, or you can feel, or you can approach pretty closely to maybe the sphere of that which causes all sentient beings to coexist prior to one's conceptualization. What we call truth or etc. But anyway, before you put the name on it, maybe you can feel or touch or you can maybe see a place or place pretty closely where something causes the all sentient being to coexist prior you think, prior your conceptualization, prior your speculation, and etc. Okay? This is called temporally the same or one ground. Or sometimes we use the truth, sometimes we use Dharma nature, etc. So before you put the name it, a name on it, using the lots of term, let's see what it is. What is that which causes all living beings to coexist prior to your conceptualization? What it is? Where is it? How it works? How does it work? Where is it? Well, what is it? Can't you see? Where is it? Well, what is it? Can't you tell me? Where is it? Never gone, sure, that's true. It's never gone. From where? Right here? Yes, right here, right now, yes. That's true. So how can you say that is, but if you say it is never gone from right here, right now, you should pay attention to you who already put the name on it. Okay, so something which causes all living beings to coexist prior to your conception is no longer it is. So you already conceptualized. Do you understand? You already say so. Yes, it's never gone from right now, right here. Yes, it is. But it is already something conceptualized by your conceptualization. Habitual pattern of your conceptions, consciousness. Okay? Is that clear? So before that, before I ask you where it is, or what it is, I want to ask you, what is it like? It's pretty hard to say, huh? But you have to say, speak up. don't be agitated. What is it like? It is like something fixed, or what it is like something formed. Where it is like water, where it is like motion, what is it? Where it is like kind of energy, well, what is it like?
You're talking about before.
Yeah, yes, that's true. Before you conceptualize the existence or being, what it is like, what kind of things exist there? We say, we put the name on it, using the lot of term, religiously speaking. But before that, what it is, before you put the name on it, what is it like?
It's like the air in a balloon.
No, it's not like that. It's exactly exists with you, because she said it's never gone. It's never gone with you. Sure.
The air in the balloon is there. It doesn't make the balloon move until you let it out. When you let it out, the balloon goes.
Oh, you mean the balloon and the air inside. Oh, I see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, what is it? But it's still, what is it?
Quiet.
Huh? Quiet.
Quiet?
Yes, that's a very, the experiential, empirical aspect of it. But more directly, what is that? It is quiet, yes.
It's moving.
Moving, yes, it is moving. Yes, it is exactly moving. What is a moving? What is a motion? What is something motion? In motion, in actions. Is there any space to conceptualize or to put the name on it? You cannot put the name on it. Is that clear? Do you understand? Even though you say I can see it, it is moving, but it is no longer moving. Because moving is conceptualized by you, so it's not moving. It's fixed. So real moving is what? Nothing to say. Don't you think so? Is that clear? Can't you see even slightly? It's moving, something moving anyway. Well, we can say it's energy in terms of biological point of view or physics, and maybe we can put the name on it. But still, it doesn't hit the mark. But it is really moving. And where is it? It's never gone from right now, right here, means the trees, birds, pebbles, grounds, airs, whatever you say, okay? It's never gone from anything. So that is right now, right here. So so from this point, you never put any name on it. It is never conceptualized. That's why Dogen Zenji says here, beyond the talk of distinction or identity, or far beyond any question of sameness and differences. So that's something moving is never gone from you, form of standard, or right now, right here, so-called time and space, idea of time and space. If you say time, if you say right now, right here, you are already caught by the idea of time and space. So before you say time from right now, right here, there is a something there. What make your life, what make your all sentient being simultaneously coexist in peace and harmony, exactly. That is something abstract? No. It's never gone from you, from everything. That's why it is something abstract. If we think, intellectually, if we think, it is something moving which causes all sentient beings coexist, prior your conceptualization is something abstract through your consciousness. But it's not abstract. It is something alive. That's why it is called bone knowing. If you notice it, it is called, your knowledge is called bone knowledge. Or universally speaking, it is born knowledge. Means knowledge which is something fully alive, vividly, beyond your concept, beyond your speculation. It's something alive. So it's never, it seems to be abstract, but it's not abstract, it's with that. It's never gone from us, from time and space, right now, right here. So it's not something sameness. It's not something different from us. It's not something different from idea of time. It's not same. It's not same as idea of time, because you can still see it and talk it, you can still know it. So to know is characterized by the dichotomized. So very naturally, you can know it. But if you know something, it is already in the dualistic. But it's not something different which exists in the dualistic world because it's very close to us. So it is kind of same, we say. Same on one ground, but it's not same on one. So that's why in Avasambhika Sutra it says one is all is one. The all sentient beings is, all sentient beings are interconnected, interpenetrated, very closely at the super speed. That is, we say, not we say, that is this, the teaching that Avasambhika Sutra mentions. Okay. So that is, that's why this is so-called Dharma nature, we say, Dharma nature. So Dharma nature is something idea. First, you have to see, understand the Dharma nature as the idea of the truth. At that time, we can say Dharma nature. Okay? But a Dharma nature is not idea of the truth, because it is connected with right now, right here, and functioning, and without leaving trace of its own. So completely nothing to say. So it's not same, it's not different. Completely beyond time and space. It's not past, it's not present, it's not the future. Anyway, that is constantly being free from, being liberated from any idea, any concept. From time, from present, from past, from future, he says, okay. And conditioning or consciousness or annihilation or eternity, whatever, any ideas. Okay? So that is called true Dharma nature. Okay, really true Dharma nature. That is something alive, vivid. So we have to see that truth exactly like this. But still, even though you don't know that real Dharma nature, real truth, still there is a possibility to approach to it precursely. That is through our knowledge, through our experience, we try to approach. We try to figure out what is it, where is it. That is always we try to study, learn who we are, what the truth is. That's why we are seeking for it. But before, beyond whether you're seeking for or you don't seek for, it's there. It's never gone from us. From right now, right here. So that is called Dharma nature, okay? Then Dharma nature, where we are, where are we? We are always right in the middle of merging of Dharma nature and also form of all living beings, from the form of time and space, form of past, present, future. So that is completely so-called, that functioning, emerging of form of time and space, form of human being, form of consciousness, form of eternity, whatever you say. Okay? Form of phenomena and also truth are interconnected, merging each other. That state of functioning is called samadhi. Okay? Samadhi. So Dharma nature samadhi. So Dharma nature, if you use just Dharma nature, it is still concept. So in order to let it be free from idea of Dharma nature, we have to see Dharma nature in terms of samadhi, functioning of its own. Related very closely, interconnectedly from or with any phenomena, any form of phenomena. Okay? past, present, future, whatever. That is called samadhi, okay? So Dhamma nature samadhi is right now over here. Be prior to your conceptualization. That is what? That is your five skandhas. That is your eyes. That is your nose. That is your consciousness. That is any ideas. Eternity, truth, whatever. So if you understand the idea of eternity or idea of annihilation, whatever it is, first of all, you have to be free from that idea of annihilation or eternity. In other words, you have to come back to that real sphere of a being which exists exactly in undefiled state of being. That is what? That is our practice in action, exactly. Because Dhamma nature is functioning in that way. So Dhamma nature is you. So you as a Dhamma nature function in that way. That is what? Undefiled practice. At that time, you can tune in dial of the wisdom of the universe, exactly. So, our practice is quite different from usual sense. Usual sense, quite different. Your practice exactly right in the middle of whole universe. Whole universe. We call whole universe sometimes, okay? There is Dogen Zenji Mason's whole universe. Whole universe is like this, Dogen Zenji Mason's. What is called the whole universe is undivided from the moment, the ages, mind, and words, which means constant intimacy, limitlessness, and boundlessness. This is whole universe. Whole universe means what you see sphere being which causes all sentient beings to coexist prior to your conceptualization, something moving. At that time, it is called whole universe because it's penetrate, it's omnipresent, regardless of whether you understand or not. How can you find it? From you, from right now, right here. But even though you don't know, anyway, it's universal. It's penetrated. Every inch of the whole universe, that's why it is called whole universe, okay? And also, Zen Master Basso says, infinite eons, complete beyond time, beyond space. Okay? So Dogen mentions that is something moving, which is called whole universe is undivided from moment. The idea of moment are the undivided from the idea of ages, undivided from the idea of mind and words, which means constant intimacy, no gap between, okay? Constantly, no stop, even for a moment, constant intimacy, okay? And limitless, constant intimacy, constant limitless, constant boundlessness. If you touch it, it's not something, it's bound. Immediately it's bound. It's limitless. In other words, if you touch it, you are bounced, okay, by this something moving. You cannot stay with it. If you touch it, you bounced. And then you touch another one, and then you bounced. So you never stay with it. So that's why Avasantika Sutra mentions that that word about that world interconnected, like the, just like a light, inter-reflection, you know, in the house covered with the glasses mirror, okay? One light is really interpenetrated everywhere. So that is Dogen Zenji Masons, okay? So, from this point, also Dogen Zenji Masons like this, maybe this is also very important for you. An ancient Buddha said, the mountains, rivers, and earth are born at the same moment with each person. All Buddhas of the three worlds are practicing together with each person. If we look at the mountains, rivers, and earth when a person is born, his birth doesn't seem to be bringing forth additional mountains, rivers, and earth on top of the existing ones. Okay? This is very important point. If you understand what I mentioned, there's something moving before, prior to your conceptualization, I think you can taste this one. Your birth is not something added to the world. The world and you are both born simultaneously. Otherwise, you cannot say, I was born. No. Because in the sphere of the something moving, there is nothing defiled, contaminated. So very clear, very limpid, very limpid, very clear. So if you put something immediately, it occupies the whole world. If you put the red ink, it's become red ink. So very clearly, simultaneously, many words, many forms coming up there. Okay? But if you see the mountains just appears on the surface and all other rest of the beings are absorbed into the mountain's life. So, mountains exist very clearly and steadfast. So, you are born, your birth is not something additional. Okay? So, that's why the invention mentioned like this. If you look at the mountains and rivers and the earth, when the person is born, his birth doesn't seem to be bringing forth additional mountains, rivers, and earth on top of the existing ones. So your birth and the mountains' birth coexist. At that time, you can really talk with the mountains. Sure, if you stand up here, you can talk, you can speak with each other's nature, mountains, and you. Why? Because mountains' birth and your birth are coexistent. That's why through this coexistent sphere, you can talk because it is very soft, very flexible. Okay? Very flexible. So everything is interconnected, interpenetrated. But from the idea of the world, I concept of world, you never do it, all this separation. So, that is Elvis Mason's, that is the point of Dogen Zenji Elvis Mason's about. Okay? So even though we understand the Dharma nature or truth, always it is still the they tied up with concept or ideas. Okay, So we have to completely free from that ideas, any ideas. And then we have to touch it, we have to taste it. From that level, we have to see once more again human world. Okay? So that is Dogen Zenji constantly presented repeatedly. Okay? Because our understanding is very stubborn and very rigid. Very rigid. This is a cultural form. Cultural form, we say. Okay? We accept already human world exactly as it is, as the Dogen Zenji mentions. Anyway, our world, our human bodies are exactly something moving before your conceptualizations. It is. We accept it already. But if you accept it and understand it, already frame of acceptation is culturized, okay, civilized. That civilization, form of civilization, is structured by funny, very limited, very crooked, crazy ideas. So that is a cultural pattern, frame we have had, we live. So we live always in the cultural world. We live always in ideal, idealistical world, okay? Conceptual world. It is true. So that's why we love so much, because we believe that it is cultural form of existence is our world. But I think we cannot stay with it, because cultural world is very busy. So you are pretty easily drifting in the world, in the oceans. So you have to see something more than cultural world you live in anyway. What is it? This is the truth always we have to talking about. Okay. So, then Zen Master Basso said, all living beings for infinite eons have never left absorption in the nature of things. So, all living beings never be left, never be gone. Okay? This is our form of five skandhas, form of tables. All are never gone from that. From the absorption in the nature of the things. So, immediately it is a Dharma nature, the function of the Dharma nature. But if you want to see the function of Dharma nature, you have to see the form of table. If you want to see the real form of table, you have to see the function of Dharma nature. That's why Shakyamuni Buddha says, if you want to see me, you have to see the Dharma. If you see the Dharma, you can see me. If you see me, you can see the Dharma. Okay? This is a very profound meaning. You have to taste it again and again. Your life is not your life. You believe it is a Dharma. So you have to see the Dharma through you. Otherwise, you cannot see you as you really are. So how can we see the Dharma? So we have to see we. We have to see us through and through. Then we can see the Dharma. How can we see that us as a real human beings, we have to see the Dharma anyway. Otherwise, we cannot see us. So, that is never. The all living beings have never left absorption in the nature of the things. They are always within absorption in the nature of the things. Wearing clothes, eating, conversing, the function of the six senses, sense organs, and all activities. all are the nature of things. The nature of things spoken of by Basel is the nature of things spoken of by nature of things. So, it is very true. I am talking right now about Buddha nature. Not I talk. Because my word comes from my heart. Exactly. Heart, within the heart, there are my actual physical body, physical temperature, physical circulation, blood circulation, and also personal, my own personality is enclosed, completely. So my world is not world. My world is my heart. My heart is not my heart. I can see my heart is something which touches the whole world. Something moving, something truth. Then my world becomes something graceful, something profound. That is because it is because I am my talk, my words, idea of the words, the idea of the topic that I am talking about are completely far beyond anyway ideas, time, space. So my words are anyway samadhi truth. The function of the truth, that is samadhi truth, samadhi, the samadhi of the truth. So my word is samadhi of the truth. The truth in samadhi. So from this point, who causes words to be alive? I? No. This is a pre-nano understanding. So strictly speaking, the samadhi of the truth. Truth in samadhi causes me to talk about the truth in samadhi. That time, it is called Buddha's teaching. It is called the words coming from the heart. Okay? But if I say, I am talking from heart, at that time, the heart is already idealistical and conceptualized. So, heart is my heart. But we don't see the heart penetrated every inch of the whole universe. We don't see it. So, Dogen Zenji, that's what Basel said, they are always within the absorption in the, that Dogen Zenji mentions the nature of the things spoken of by Basel is the nature of things spoken by the nature of things. It learns from the same source as Basel. It is exactly Basel himself. Okay. Is fellow student of the nature of things since hearing of it takes place? How could there not be speaking of it? So you never be gone from the function of Dhamma nature. Dhamma nature in samadhi. We are already there. So your movement, your everyday life is Dhamma nature in samadhi. So that's why we have to take best care of our human body, so called Dhamma container. Because with this Dhamma container, we can see, we can study, we can learn really the truth, through which we can figure out a way to help all living beings, and to build up the Buddhist world in peace, in harmony. Okay? Okay, do you have a question? This is all I can say today.
Did you say that that is domination?
It is a domination, yes. The cultural form, cultural world we have built up is domination. So that's why we shouldn't confine ourselves to the small world idea of cultural world, okay? We have built up. We have to be free from cultural form we live in. And then that cultural form can be manifested as a dominator. Okay, because dominator is there. But if people don't see it, usually we are always stuck by the cultural world. So cultural world is not something wrong. It depends on how we can use, how we can accept it. Okay? How we can use, how we can accept it. Okay? So our practice is, before I mentioned, our practice is quite different from the usual way. Did I? That is a Dogen Zenji mentions in Zenki the whole works. He mentions life is like a writing in the board. Okay? And he is talking about the you in the board. Okay? It's not you. You are the time of the board. Time of a whole world. That is a you. So, you are practicing. Your practice is exactly the going with the whole world. Boat, water, and the other shore, and this shore, and skies, and top and bottom, the whole things. So your practice is just going right in the middle of the whole world with the whole world. But usually, we do is, we are there, originally. But we pick up, how do you feel? You feel good? That means only I pick up myself. And then, this is very common. From subject, we always see, we understand. Okay? This is a very usual pattern of understanding. So Buddhistic way is a little bit different. The complete reverse. Let's see different angle. Let's see the whole world from a different angle. That is, why don't you see the predicate, including subject and object? Predicate. Predicate is the sphere of the something moving, okay, in actions. Because subject and object are working together. But we usually see from the subject or from the object. But a dozen dimensions, anyway, we are already right in the middle of whole world, right in the middle of the boat, okay, including the whole world. At that time, you cannot see you in terms of you. You cannot see you from the other shores, okay? But you have to see completely in terms of whole world. So that is nothing to separate, nothing to conceptualize. You just be there. Okay? But according to our habitual pattern, we are there. So called Zazen. Immediately we pick up in something, and then I say, "Oh, I feel good." Then next, I don't feel good. So I always up and down, up and down. Or we are seeing object. We are always seeing ourselves in the universe from the object. So universe is no longer universe. Universe is objectified. So called, what is Zazen? We say, what is Zazen? So we can see the always thoughts and the ideas. Clarity of your existence is limited by subject or object, so-called idea of conceptualizations, always. So that's why our practice is exactly constantly be there, be there, be there. That's it. Because whatever you that's why it's very vague. It's very vague. But that's why it is very vague that we always ask a bit, why don't you give me some technique, some way to reach this one, to make a practice that steadfast, you know, without moving so much. So why don't you give me some technique, some way, some ideas, etc. We always think in that way. Sure, that is, I understand that one. But we are Buddha and the ancestors talking about life and death itself. Not idea of death, not idea of life. Exactly, you have to see real death, not the worldly death, conceptualized death, no. You have to see exactly death itself. At that time, what you can do, what is useful for you? Okay. There is a question there. After death, what's world is there? What's gone? What happens after death? Many questions coming up. But whatever, many questions, very complicated world coming up, but what you have to do is very simple one. Okay. Your bodies, the physical bodies, and the mental world are exactly fitting into the rhythm of time and space, day by day, from moment to moment, right in the middle of so-called death. That's it. Just like a rock climbers, I mentioned. Rock, if you want to climb the rock, mountains, your body exactly fitting, touching, adhered, just like adhered, you know, but it's moving smoothly. Your body is exactly moving, touching the rock, exactly. And then, nevertheless, he or she has to go through lots of process, complicated process, procedures. But your body never be confused, never be hampered. Because if your body's consciousness are hampered, you never climb the rock. Immediately fear coming up. So if you really want to climb the mountains or rock, anyway, you must be right there. That's it. Very simple. But within the simplicity, there are lots of complicated procedures. You have to do it. But your body never be hampered. That is exactly rock climbing experience, mountaineer experience, sportsmen, musicians experience this one. Why the religious person cannot exist, cannot experience this one? Why we should ignore that one? No reason. Otherwise, you never know what the death is, what the life is. That's why, even though you don't understand it, we have to, anyway, continue to practice this one. Okay? That's why our practice is quite different from usual way. So nothing to pick up. All of today is put yourself right there, constantly. But it's not simple. You have to go through complicated procedure because you can see the ideas, thoughts, complications, lots of tasks you have to do. But nevertheless, your body never be hampered. You have to just moving. Otherwise, you never be rock climber. This is our practice we do. That's the legitimation here. That is called Dharma nature. Samadhi is Dharma nature in Samadhi. Okay. Is that question? 15 minutes.
So it's a little tricky when we use the word merging.
Merging?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We were using the word merging.
Uh-huh.
Because that which merges is already.
Sure. Well, word, not only the merging of the word, word itself is very tricky.
Yeah.
We fall into the pit of the, anyway, dichotomies very easily. But problem is, we don't realize it.
Yeah. Well, we want a solution to life.
Huh?
I said we want a solution to life.
Uh-huh.
Don't we? And I think, isn't that why we conceptualize so much?
Well, if you want to have a solution, I think already we are taken in by solutions. But actually, nothing to definite solutions. So you by what you can be satisfied, you know. So what is the real solution? That is very questionable. So real solution is something moving. Something moving, just like a rock climbers. You have to be, you are five consciousness, five scandals, must be something moving. That is called undefined practice. But it's not so simple. It is simple, but it's not simple because within the simplicity, you have to go through the complicated procedure. But from day to day, from moment to moment, you have to really climb. That is egolessness, we say. If there is slightly some ego conscious world, it's very, you know, shaky. I always say the dancer or ballerina, you know, whatever. They're dancing at the stage completely, but it's still consciousness always interfered. Can you experience that one? You are completely acting exactly, but consciousness still they interfere that the total actions. But consciousness never participate in practicing action at all. No. Completely consciousness form of consciousness is dissipated in the world of actions. Top perfect actions. But it's still consciousness working. So if you see the consciousness right in the middle of action, I think it interrupts you so much. In many ways. The same applies to the rock climbers. This is our practice we do. Okay? Skantaza is what? Taking care of life and death is what? Exactly. Life climber, exactly taking care of that that you do now.
The other day you were talking about a narrow line between activity and something more than activity, you know, like silence behind activity rather than just activity that is like compulsiveness.
Something more?
Rather than activity that's like compulsiveness, compulsive. We talk about there's compulsive activity, and there's activity backed by silence or presence or something like that.
Yeah, activity becomes silence. Yes. if you are exactly become if you are exactly one with the activity vividly, your activity becomes silent because you are activity. Activity is activity, so you become very silent. So that's why our practice is not showy, very quiet activity. Continuation of quiet, total, tranquil activity. This is our undefined practice. But reading this, reading that quiet continuation of quiet activity, we have to say something, otherwise people don't understand it. Otherwise, it is very difficult for a human being to carry it for long, not for a certain period of time. Yes, that's true. It is important.
Refers to the paragraph on page 39 of The Nature of Things. Zen Master Basso said, "All living beings for infinite eons have never left absorption in the nature of things. They are always within absorption in the nature of things, wearing clothes, eating, conversing, the functions of the six sense organs, and all activities. All are the nature of things." The nature of things spoken of by Basso is the nature of things spoken of by the nature of things. It learns from the same source as Basso, is a fellow student of the nature of things. Since hearing of it takes place, how could there not be speaking of it?